Welcome in, listeners, to another episode of the Busby Babe podcast. I'm your host, Colin Dams, joined today by Nathan Heinschel and Polly Questel. How's it going, boys?
Still recovering from, you know, when you take, like, during the day naps, sometimes you feel worse than when you first started taking the nap. That was Sunday. I literally fell asleep at kickoff and then woke up at the post-game analysis. I was like, oh, sweet, we won 1-0.
The 3:15 game. That's like the prime time to take a nap.
I know, right?
Yeah, I'm really tired of these spots, especially if, like, they're going to want me to stay awake for this and do, like, you know, live tweets. They should at least make the match more interesting, which I guess to some degree it was.
3:15 on a Sunday is – you can't have a match then. You can't have your Europa League match on Thursday kick off earlier than your Sunday match.
Yeah, I mean, Sunday at 3:15, that's when I'm sitting down to watch whatever golf tournament's on. You can't have your soccer game on at the same time.
Yeah, and that's exactly – but, okay, that's exactly – if you're putting on the golf tournament, that's when you're going to fall asleep. So let's not pretend that, like, your nap was at the wrong time.
My body was pre-ready because that's what I've done the last couple weeks. It's like Sunday, if I'm not playing golf, I'm going to watch the golf tournament and I'm going to take a nap in my chair because, you know, I'm an old man.
Yeah, it's not fair that I save money by having a 3:15 match on a Sunday instead of being able to focus on badly betting on horses.
Yeah. See, what's supposed to happen is I'm supposed to watch the game in the morning, so that way after I've had a couple whiskeys by 11 a.m., I then take my afternoon nap.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you didn't miss much. The 1-0 win kind of says it all. Scott McTominay, very, excited for Craig Dawson's own goal to get us 1-0 in front. The Rashford-Mason Greenwood forward line kind of dropping back and trying to get creative, but of course not offering much at, the way of strikers. So it was basically like the ceiling of what the McFred midfield can give us. Defensive stability, not a lot of creativity going forward.
It was exactly what I expected. When you looked at the FA Cup match that we played and you said, well, West Ham played a pretty strong, I think it, like 99% strongest 11. It was basically, that was the team that they would field in the Premier League. And over 120 minutes in that match, they gave Dean Henderson nothing to do. They didn't get within a sniff of our goal. And we started that match with Mason Greenwood up front, Donny van de Beek behind him, Fred and Matic in midfield. I think Dan James started that match. I forget who started on the left. Might have been Rashford. So when you're like, well, now we're going to get, all right, McTominay and for Matic is probably, you're still not getting any offensive creativity, but Bruno Fernandes is coming back into the team. Rashford's going to be playing. Luke Shaw's back in there. You figured we'd create enough for a goal, and West Ham probably still, because David Moyes, you know, refuses to even try to win an away game against the top six side, weren't going to come near our goal. And they didn't attempt a shot until we went 1-0 up.
Yeah, I don't remember any of, you know, the moments kind of later. I did get a little bit scary, but I don't really remember any of them being much of a challenge for Dean Henderson.
Yeah, they didn't really. They threatened more in that they got forward and started shooting, and they said, hey, now we need to score a goal, as if, like, they didn't need to score a goal to win the entire time.
Yeah.
And who knows if they would have done that if we didn't score until the 80th minute. But I figured goalless draw was very on the table, but probably 1-0 win.
Yeah, which is, you know, a positive sign, but another one, you know, kind of taking away from this match that we can't really break down teams when we only have one creator in our midfield. The lack of a striker in the number nine position was kind of showing. Mason Greenwood and Marcus Rashford not having great games, but kind of dropping back and trying to be part of the build-up play a few times, resulting in Daniel James being the only person in the box to receive any sort of cross.
Yeah. He was also, like, the guy in the box on the corners that was, like, stationary in front of the goal, who's typically – I wrote about this. It hasn't been published yet. Typically is the one that makes that near-post run to flick it on towards the back post, and it's like, why is Dan James there?
Yeah. Well, positive news today, at least, that we may not have to be watching the that sort of lack of creativity in midfield much longer. A lot of players coming back into training for Manchester United. Paul Pogba is back after about a month. Edinson Cavani is back. Donny van de Beek is back, although, as we've talked about previously, we don't know how much that will be an influence for the squad. But this is coming at a time when Manchester United are going into possibly the biggest weekend of the season to this point. Their last two chances at a trophy are on the line with a trip to the San Siro for the away leg of the Milan tie in the Europa League. And then on Sunday, going to the King Power to play Leicester City in the quarterfinals. I think the biggest return injury-wise is Paul Pogba, but do we think that after being out a month and training for a couple days that we're going to see him? I think maybe the FA Cup match if we're going to see him in either of these, but do you guys think that he would be a starter under Ollie's consideration?
I do think he's probably missed too much time, and we're just now hearing about him returning to training. Unless that's, you know, them holding on to the news until the last minute when they have to announce traveling squads for Milan, which is obviously quite possible. But we knew for a while that like Pogba was going to be out for a good minute, so I would think he's probably still a sub. Because he's got to get match fitness, because one thing we do know is he hasn't played in a game in several weeks. And I'd almost wonder if maybe, like, you know, he starts up again against Brighton on April 4th, and so Ollie eases him in both on this match on the 18th and then the match on the 21st.
And we've kind of seen that, too, with Solskjaer and Pogba, that using him as a substitute is a really nice thing to have in your back pocket going into a pretty big game. Although when he does hit the pitch, you wonder why he wasn't starting in the first place.
Yeah. And you need to score in this game. Every other game that we've done that in, we didn't necessarily need to score. A draw wasn't the end of the world. Even against Leipzig, a draw would have sent us through. We need to score, and he's been training. Because they posted a picture of him like 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. doing some cone drills and stuff. I don't think he's been training with the team, so I think he finally returned to training. So it's not like he hasn't been out there at all. I don't see him starting either of these games though, simply because he's I don't want to say made of glass, but he's, you know, if you could build your house out of bricks or you could build your house out of plywood, he's becoming more the plywood. And you got to make sure that he doesn't break and that it's not too much too soon. But these are both games that you need to win or not win. Against Milan, you got to score and then not lose once you score. If you score twice, it's even better. Against Leicester, you need to win. So I'd more likely see him against Leicester, although it depends on how much he plays against Milan. If he does play a substantial amount, you could easily see Ollie being like, the turnaround is too quick. But he is a nice little asset to be able to bring off the bench.
Nathan, when we talked about the Milan game last week, there wasn't a whole lot that really, other than maybe a 20-minute span of the match, that really encouraged us about this. And then against West Ham with, you know, maybe a weaker lineup against a weaker opponent, we have the same sort of deal where we're just not putting chances in. Do you feel like the pressure to score is going to be more of a motivator in this match against Milan, or do you think it's going to be more difficult?
Yeah, I mean, the vibes are weird still.
Yeah.
They haven't improved since our last podcast. I mean, I don't know that there's like there's a little bit of a pressure to score simply because I would say maybe the West Ham game more so than like the first leg of the Milan game. The Milan game was, you're just kind of kicking yourself over how we just serve that game up for Milan to snag an away goal, you know, for probably the better part of 20 minutes at the end of that game. I mean, made the more defensive-minded substitutions, and it looked like we were ready to concede possession. I mean, that game ended up finishing like 51-49 at possession after I think we had a fair share of the possession in the first half. So, but we put two on Man City just barely over a week ago. So this Milan team, I think, can be scored on. We proved that with the one goal we scored. It's who are we going to have do it? That's the question. I mean, we didn't have Rashford in the Milan game, so it's like maybe this is the opportunity for him to have another big European moment, because we would certainly benefit from that for sure.
I don't know if we'll have Rashford in this game, though, because he is so injured. I mean, that was the big takeaway from this West Ham game, was this guy is not fit. And what we did, the Milan game was ugly, as can be, but we created a bunch of really good chances. We just didn't finish them.
Uh-huh.
And Milan got some good chances too, because our that McTominay-Matic midfield is the worst one we have, and you can cut through them like Swiss cheese. They leave those kind of holes, which makes me think maybe Pogba could possibly play, especially because it is a European game. They're typically less physical. You know, he's played in Serie A for 4 years. It might suit his game more, and it might not be as strenuous, and it just makes you more direct. I wonder if Martial will be fit. I think you could get a max of one game out of Marcus Rashford over the next two, and because we know he's gonna play, even though he is clearly hurt. Luke Shaw's battling an injury. Basically, what needs to happen is they need to give everything they're all for these two games. And when they get back into the dressing room after Leicester, Ollie needs to just, like, step on all their feet and until they're like, oh, you're hurt. You can't go to your internationals.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be nice? I'm surprised Sir Alex didn't try that method, or Arsene Wenger.
Well, he threw hair dryers, right?
Fergie used to beg him not to go. Fergie used to tell him not to go.
He kicked a boot one time.
He used to threaten the players, like, if you play, you know, like, they left for a friendly, and he'd be like, if you play for more than 45 minutes, like, you're not playing next week.
No. Well, and I'm fascinated by these international breaks, that these guys are able to come back and they don't immediately have to quarantine also, and then miss, like, the Brighton game. It just doesn't make sense.
When Europe is going into lockdown, and, oh, by the way, we're not playing two games this international break. We're playing three, and they're qualifiers, which means the managers are going to need to play these guys the entire time. This is just a brilliant idea while COVID ravages the continent.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they can't even get the AstraZeneca vaccine now.
I mean, hey, I'm 50% vaccinated. They can start me in one of these games if they need to. I probably can play.
Do you have eligibility?
Yeah. I don't know. Can you still add people to the Europa League squad? It seems like that would be a competition that didn't have many rules.
You need to be a homegrown player, which you are not.
Damn.
What? This is his boyhood club, Pauly.
Yeah, but they don't know about him.
Colin's always posting pictures of himself as a wee lad in his Manchester United gear.
Yeah,
back when he wasn't 6'2".
I have photo evidence. So
give me Diallo in this match, by the way, for Milan. I want more Diallo.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised that we didn't see him maybe more against West Ham because of Rashford's situation. But I think, you know, this is a bit indicative of how Ollie is seeing his progression into the first team, maybe.
You couldn't bring him on against West Ham. You couldn't bring him on. You couldn't bring Shortiri on. You can't bring on two teenage debutants and say, hey, go see out a game. We're up 1-0. We need you to just be out there and defend. That's not putting them in. You need to, when you're dealing with young players like that, you need to put them out in positions where they, that will best, you know, the best position for them to succeed, which is to go out and attack. You can't put them out there and say, we just need you to be very conservative and go defending, which is why you often see these guys come on when you're down 1-2, because then the manager can go, don't worry, just go out there and do your thing. Let's see what you got. Because if you're down 2-0 and you go down 3-0, no big deal. You know, you have the freedom to go and attack against trying to see out a game against a big physical side that's pushing the top four when you need 3 points. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, I guess I just meant more from the outset that Rashford came back so quickly, because it sounded like at least initial reports were saying that it would be a week or so. So like maybe 10
days. You kind of knew with Ollie that someone that he said, oh, I don't know if they're all going to be fit, or all these players are all doubts. You kind of knew one of them would be fit, and you kind of knew it would be Rashford. And by fit, I mean the one who is able to put boots on and go out on the pitch, not actually fit. I think even if he wasn't, we probably would have just seen Alex Telles at left wing. And simple reason for that, Diallo played 45 minutes. This is not a guy who has played 90 minutes at a senior level ever. Not a guy who has played much first team football at all this year. Can he play 45 minutes and then give you 90 minutes on Sunday against a much side that he has zero experience in? He's only played so far in Europe. If you say, oh, he can only give me 60 minutes, then I'd say you're better off starting Telles on the left wing, and after 45 minutes or 60 minutes, then you bring on Diallo to run at tired legs, because I think that would help him out a bit more in terms of settling in and getting a feel for things and being able to make an impact.
Okay, so looking at this big weekend then, or not necessarily weekend, Thursday and Sunday, worst case scenario, we lose both of these games. What's the attitude coming out of that, going into the international break? Is that like worst possible time for the squad, or does that give Ollie a little bit of time to regroup?
Well, I mean, the vibes definitely go from weird to bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, at least Ollie just signed new paperwork, so, you know, he's getting a bigger payday.
He's agreed to discuss new paperwork.
That reminds me of when they decided to make him permanent manager, or the timing of it, when they decided to make him permanent manager in 2019.
We nosedived.
Yeah. I mean, if that happens, there's definitely going to be, you know, activity on the bird, and probably a lot of, you know, opinion pieces saying that it might be time to reconsider Ollie's position. But
going to be a lot of Twitter accounts with football players as their avatars. Yeah. Just like,
yeah, I mean,
blown up the replies.
But you have to look at the season, one, in the context of the time that it's being played in, and the context of how close these games are together, maybe how injured our squad is right now, and, you know, players coming out of injury at a time when we really need to perform. But also, we're in second place, and we've had a decent Premier League run when other teams have struggled under the same conditions. So I don't know.
Colin, I think you hit the nail on the head there for a couple of things. If we do lose both games, your question is, what your original question was, I think both things are true. Is it gives Ollie a chance to regroup and settle the team down, get some players onto the training pitch. It is also like, throw my phone out the window and don't look at the internet for 2 weeks, because that will be unbearable, because people will be hysterical. And not just about Ollie, but about the state of the team. On Sunday morning, there's been this guy who randomly has been added to the New York Reds Facebook page group, and he has been posting these long-winded things, and no one knows who he is because he's not from New York, and everybody just despises him because these things are so ridiculous. And on Sunday morning, he posted this long rambling about, I don't want the team to set up defensive today. And it's like, but given the injuries, and it was like, well, who do you think's going to play? Obviously, like, we only have defensive players, and David Moyes is only 6 points behind us, and goes on these, it could be three. They have a game in hand, this, that, the other. He listed off like every situation possible that could occur from the outcomes of this game, with one exception. what if Manchester United win and go 9 points clear of David Moyes? And I think that's the attitude of every United fan, certainly on the bird, and not every, but so many of the ones that are on the bird, is they keep thinking like, oh, Chelsea won. They're going to win all their games. United are struggling right now. Well, we might fall apart. And it's like, well, all right, Leicester won. Cool. Leicester beat the worst team in the league, who just fired their manager, who was the only one keeping them together. And suddenly they destroyed them 5-0. What did Leicester do the week before? Why do we assume Leicester are going to win every game and United aren't going to win? As you said, Colin, everybody has had this situation so far this season where everybody got hurt. Liverpool's had it. Leicester's had it. City have had injuries. United have gone through it without losing a game. Their last game they lost, everybody was fit. They've lost one game in the league since when? November? It could be a lot worse. They're doing a pretty decent job here.
Yeah, I think Chelsea's form is kind of something to worry about. But if you look at the teams that they've beaten, it's not been super impressive. Like Newcastle, Everton, while they're down at the moment, but they also have draws against Southampton and Leeds. They've got a decent, decently easy run coming up in the Premier League, but they finish it with a few difficult games, including West Ham, City, Arsenal, Leicester City, and then Aston Villa. So
even if Chelsea's form is good,
a 9-point lead on them is a pretty nice buffer.
But even if their form's good, we're not competing with them for a trophy. We're competing with them for qualification into the more difficult qualification path to the UEFA Super Cup. And four teams get in on that. And City obviously have one spot. There's three teams left. There's room for us and Chelsea.
When you say UEFA Super Cup, do you mean UEFA Champions League?
No, I mean UEFA Super Cup, because what's better than being champion of Europe is super champion of Europe. And you can do that via two routes. You could go with the Champions League or the Europa League. Either way, you go to the UEFA Super Cup and you become super champs of Europe.
Super champs.
Super champs.
Yeah, it's going to be sweet when we win Thursday night Champions League and then go on to be super champs.
Super champs.
Hey, we can rebrand anything we need to.
So
we don't need to rebrand it. If you don't want to take the UEFA Super Cup seriously, then don't call it Super. That's a brand. If it's not supposed to mean that much, then that's a branding mistake on their part.
They really should make that the qualifier for the Club World Cup if they want to make it the actual Super Cup. So latest from the Milan camp. Romagnoli and Zlatan Ibrahimovic are also back in training. I don't think Teo Hernandez is back, or did he play against us last Thursday? I think that was the other notable potential injury for this tie.
Teo Hernandez did play against Napoli on the weekend.
Okay, so he'd be back. Does this scare us, the potential of playing against Zlatan Ibrahimovic, just for, extra banter on the bird, or do we think that maybe this would limit their attack a little bit more in the way that he limited our direct route to goal when he was here?
Yeah, it'll do that. I've seen him play against English teams. He wasn't too dominant against the English bad boys. And, he's a bit of a racist, so hopefully karma.
Yeah, there we go.
The god has returned to the Swedish national team, too, apparently.
Oh, great. That should be great for his social media content.
That's what he posted, was God has returned. It's just, like, the shtick is boring at this point. It was funny at first when it was like Zlatan, and then you became self-aware, and now you're just he's just become a character.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, if he's playing up front, I do like our odds, considering Harry Maguire is a pretty physical defender, and it's one of the forwards in the world that Harry Maguire's pace matches up with. And then, I mean, McTominay's a big body dude too when he gets into the box. And I mean, he can at least provide that second piece of coverage. So I'm sure they'll want to try and put Zlatan up against Lindelof whenever they can. But there's always that chance that we maybe play with Bailly instead. So
Yeah, and of course, you know, they've got some history as well. I think that as long as we have any sort of upgrade in terms of controlling the middle of the park than we did in the first leg, we should fare a lot better. I mean, Pauly talked about it. Matic-McTominay was not a great matchup. But even, you know, when we had the ball for a lot of, I guess, 20 to 25 minutes there of the game early in the second half, it felt like we had nothing really in the center. It was always pushing it to the wings. Bruno Fernandes had to play out wide for a lot of the match. And, you know, whatever they broke, their three midfielders seemed like they had all the space they needed. So
we made 22 progressive passes against Mon. It's pathetic.
Yeah.
I, for one, would also like to see us play some better defense on Franck Kessié, but that's just me.
Yeah, maybe like step to him if he's entering your box.
Maybe.
Yeah. Shout so, sorry, what were you saying, Nathan?
I said shout outs to VAR. Still yeah. Red.
Barchester United.
Yeah.
So yeah, how do we feel about this weekend? Which one do we think we have more of a chance of winning? I think I'm going to say Leicester just because I think that they'll give us more space to attack, and I think we might take that one more seriously.
I think we have an equal chance of winning them both. I think we're, I mean, you forget, like, we're, this is conducive to being on the, where our team is more conducive to playing away. The Milan game, the first game was bad. This game, it's hard to see it get worse. It really is. And just as bad as it was, I said that after Thursday, and then it almost seemed like against West Ham, they were trying to make it worse. But I just, that was the first time that Solskjaer has started Matic and McTominay together in a midfield pivot by choice. Every other time has been everybody's been hurt, or basically Pogba got hurt last year and Fred was just getting back from his honeymoon, and we all thought Fred was a garbage midfielder who couldn't play, so he was eighth choice when there were three midfielders. So Matic, McTominay started, and then within 3 weeks Fred was the guy. There's a reason for that, and I just don't see him going back to that pair, which already will make the midfield better. And as bad as the Milan game was, we created some good chances. I think we'll have some better, you know, bringing in Cavani, who's also got that continental experience to play. I think he'll come in. Pogba will pop his head in at some point. Van de Beek is a player that's got continental experience, better on the continent than he is in England. It's a much better team.
Is he our new Mkhitaryan?
Maybe. You hope. One can hope.
Europa League warrior Donny van de Beek.
One hopes, and you come into that and just do what you... I mean, I could see that game going 1-0 pretty easily. I could see a lot of different situations. I could also see us losing 3-0. But, and then Leicester, yeah, I think Leicester are a little fraudulent, and we should have beaten them the first time. We're a bit more tired than we are now than we were then, but I think we should be able to beat Leicester.
Yes, as far as the Milan game is concerned, that first leg at Old Trafford, you figure there was like a 20-minute period in the first half where we really just looked out of sorts and Milan looked like the better team. And then we let Milan look like the better team in the final 20 minutes of the second half, and that's when they were able to go and snag their goal in the 92nd minute. When that second half first started, United were playing with their hair on fire, and Diallo snags that goal, and it was really looking like, you know, United was going to find a second and a third, and then we wouldn't even be having this conversation right now. So I think Milan can be had. I mean, God forbid, if we have some, you know, reserves coming in, or some guys coming in back from injury to kind of provide some more offense, because when you look at that lineup that started, there's not a lot of offensive opportunities. I mean, you didn't have Luke Shaw in. You didn't have your, in big air quotes, preferred midfield pivot. I mean, you were really asking Bruno Fernandes, Greenwood, Daniel James to do a lot. I mean, I think that the squad's much more, they're capable of playing a lot better. against Milan
in the second leg. When you say, like, we let them in, we let them bring it to us over the last 20 minutes, we had taken off Bruno Fernandes. We brought on
two fullbacks for a fullback.
We brought on Alex Telles to play as, and we went to a back five, kind of. Luke Shaw was essentially the left winger. Fred was the number 10. What'd you expect? I mean, we did it because we thought we were in control, and we were like, this team can control enough. Obviously, we're not going to score, but we'll see out this 1-0. And we almost did, if not for the almighty set piece, which has been our thing all season, was we give up late corners and we can see the goal off them.
Yeah. And I mean, our fearless leader, Brent, did refer to it as cowardly from Solskjaer that game. And I don't think that's, you know, inappropriate to say. I do think it was like, all right, let's see if we can just see this one out instead of just continuing to play our game. I really like to see Pogba, though, come back. That'd be pretty beneficial after watching that midfield.
Score a banger at the San Siro.
Yeah. I do wonder if Pogba doesn't start, I wonder if he gets, you know, like a solid 30 minutes in the second half. And then that's Solskjaer's way of kind of telegraphing, all right, he's going to start against Leicester, which would be hugely beneficial, I think, for us to have him against Leicester.
Yeah. I think, you know, at the very least, we're going to find out more of what this team is made of, which is nice to be in situations like that after, you know, a season and a half where it seemed like we were much further away from those than was reality. So hopefully we can finally get to a final under Solskjaer in one of these competitions. I guess we will just wait and see.
Yeah, I'm tired of hearing from this Chelsea fan I work with that even Frank Lampard at least won a trophy. Like, we got to nip that in the bud.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he made a final.
Or he made the final, excuse me. Yeah, he made. Because I refer to him, because every time he calls Solskjaer PE teacher, I'm like, your PE teacher already got fired, my dude. But
no. When we win one of these, you should just print out a picture of Solskjaer with the FA Cup and put it on their desk or make it their screensaver or something.
I was half joking when I said Donny van de Beek for Kai Havertz straight up, who says no, and the defeat in his voice.
He would make that deal?
No, he said he wouldn't. He's like, come on, mate, who's gonna do that? I was like, well, I mean, they both played like the same amount of minutes this season.
Made the same sort of impact.
Yeah.
I think they've got one.
He would not make that deal.
Oh, okay, good.
Absolutely. If I had Kai Havertz, I wouldn't make that deal. My second son, Donny van de Beek, for Kai Havertz.
Yeah, I would. If I had Kai Havertz, I would not make that deal either.
God, can you imagine if we had Kai Havertz? Remember this time last year when we were talking about how we should go after Kai Havertz? You remember, like, it was around this time last year. We can go check the records. I think all three of us wanted him.
It was around this time last year that we were coming up with things to talk about, or we're having to start to come up with things to talk about.
It was exactly this time last year where we were like, you know what, we gotta come up with things to talk about.
We were comparing Manchester United players to fast food and Avengers and
challenge competitors.
I was telling Gary Neville what movies he needed to watch in lockdown. Jesus Christ, what a year it's been.
Brent was starting the Skyline Chili discourse.
Yeah, and it just keeps coming back.
Yeah.
Like Skyline Chili. Just keeps coming back up when you eat it.
Good times, maybe? Asterisk.
Did we ever do the Avengers?
Yeah, we did an Avengers piece.
Yeah, there's like four Avengers movies.
No, I know that there's Avengers movies, Colin.
Oh, also...
We did. I think you compared... was it Pogba to Iron Man? I'll have to look it up, but we did...
Oh, I remember this, I guess.
Yeah. We did a Walkout Songs one.
Playboy billionaire philanthropist Paul Pogba.
Oh, I remember Walkout Songs also. Oh, my God.
Yeah, Walkout Songs was fun.
Yeah. It was a great reading. If you guys have time, you should go back and do that.
Yeah, go look through our archives when we were going absolutely insane.
And it's still happening.
It's still going on.
All right.
Speaking of which, in between the two games we got this week... Falcon and the Winter Soldier, baby. Let's go.
I look forward to dropping that into the group chat. in like 6 weeks, and Nathan's going to be like, oh, I have to watch it this weekend.
I'm still disappointed with, from the WandaVision totally finale. WandaVision. I'm not sure I'm going to watch it. Not over Pietro not actually being Pietro.
It left that same feeling that AC Milan won, Manchester United won, left.
Yes, just
trying
about.
To steer us back on a back Let's, on road.
Also, quick aside, this is not a sponsored post for Disney Plus. But Disney Plus, well, if you want to sponsor us.
Well, yeah, because I just criticized one of their shows. They'd have me pulled and replaced.
But, all right, let's get back on track here. So,
hey,
Josie
Bob Iger, I liked WandaVision. This is Nathan.
This is going to do it for this episode of the Busby Bay Podcast. I've been Colin.
Watch the MCU in 4K on Disney Plus. HDR 10, Dolby 7.2, baby.
I'm Colin.
You're streaming out.
I'm Colin from the Busby Bay Podcast, and you're watching Disney Channel.